just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 762. I am Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined by a whole bunch of co-hosts today. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Each week, we look at theater from so many different angles. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, March 6, 2024. On the show today, we have Entr'acte and all of their stuff, but including their latest piece, which is going to be Pippin. And then later on, we're going to be talking to the geniuses behind 1448, the 48-hour theater festival. All that, and of course, we'll have news and views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Texas, San Francisco, and other places just as fun. We'll be right back.
Strike me a bow.
Okay, hello everybody. It is Lisa Sheps. It is Wednesday here in Austin, Texas. I've got a cadre of people here. We have young Nicole Shiro is not here because she's in Houston doing theater junk. And that's what we do. But who do we have here? I will tell you. We have the folks from 1448, which we're going to talk about in a second. We have Sweet Van Loan. Hi, Sweet.
Hiya.
Hiya. Hold on. I'm going to get you to like talk right into that microphone. We have Max Langert.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey. And we have Noah. God, dog it, Noah, I just lost your last name.
It's Martin.
Martin, I know that, and it just disappeared. How are you? You know why everybody's soft? It's because my headphone volume is down, and that's why I can't hear you.
Oh.
So great. So here's, before we're going to do a little tease of 1448. We're doing things slightly differently today because of what we're going to be doing with 1448, which we do every year, and it's so much fun.
Yep.
But I do want to say, first of all, I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar. And I also want to thank, from the bottom of my heart, everybody who contributed to Co-op during our springtime membership drive, and especially shout-outs to Carol Lee and Liz for always stepping up and helping out when Offstage and On the Air is begging for money. So thank you, thank you, and thank you to everybody else who gave during our membership drive. It was very successful. And that's it. Let's also welcome to the microphone Mr. Matrix Kilgore, who is just stepping into the studio. Hold on, Matrix. I got to turn your microphone on. Go.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. And Matrix is actually officially going to be acting as my co-host because he's done those duties before. But here's what we're going to do. Noah, in a few words or less... A few words or less. Tell us what 1448 is all about.
Yeah, so 1448, 14 plays, 48 hours. Each night are 7 world premiere plays, and those are written overnight. So basically the playwrights get a theme the evening before. They have all night to write the play. In the morning, the directors draw at random the play that they are going to direct, and then they draw their actors at random. And then they have all day long to put their play together. Designers are running around frantically finding costumes and putting together sets. And meanwhile, there is a live band, which is one of my favorite parts of the whole festival. There's a live band that plays music to the background of everything happening. And we put up those 7 plays that night. And then we do the whole thing over again.
Great.
The next night.
Yeah. That was a few words or less.
Sorry. That was the shortest version I could give
you. That was the shortest version. Well, you're going to get a full example of this. We're going to talk at length about 1448 later in the show, but the reason why I wanted to tease it right now is we're going to experience that right now as we've done in the past. I have a pie tin with some subjects that we will have a playwright, the magnificent playwright, Max Langert. While we're talking about other stuff, he's going to go off into the other room and write up a short play that we are going to perform for you today during the show. So, Sweet, I'm wondering if you'd be so kind as to pick one of these four. Here, you know what? I'm just going to throw them out there and you grab one.
Flying all over the place.
You grab one and... I will say that Kim Simpson and Lisa Sheps contributed to these topics. And the topic is?
Retinue of Scoundrels.
Retinue of Scoundrels.
Wow. Max, my dictionary out.
See what you're going to do with that one, Max.
How do you feel about that one?
I'm confused, but that's a good thing. That's
good.
A good
dictionary
thing.
Is good.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
A Retinue of Scoundrels. So good. We look forward to experiencing this play in about 40 minutes or so.
Great.
You ready to go out and write?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go out and write.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. All right, and now, while he's writing, we're going to sit and have fun talking about the other stuff, the subjects of the day. And I will say this, that when you came in, you heard a little piece of music from The Wiz called I Was Born Yesterday. And... why did I do that? I know why I did this. Because of Hinton Battle, who was in the original. He was the Scarecrow in the original Wiz in 1982, I think. Hold on, I think I have it in here somewhere. He died a couple of weeks ago, but as we do in the theater community, in the Broadway community, the lights of Broadway are dimming for him, and they are going to dim. There it is. HintonBattle.pdf is right there. They're going to dim on March 12th at 6:45 p.m. Here's something interesting about this, and I want to get how y'all feel about this. We all know about the tradition of dimming lights for people that have passed away. And that is really controlled by the League of Broadway Producers, and they decide when it is. And they've taken some flack for not honoring people that we feel like we should honor, or like gatekeeping it anyway. And when they originally were going to dim the lights for Hinton Battle, their plan was to dim the lights to have each of the companies that have Broadway theaters, the Jamsons, the Schuberts, the everybody, to dim the lights in one of their theaters.
Yeah.
Instead of just having all the theaters dim their lights. And then, of course, they took guff from that.
They took a lot of heat.
And now they're going to do it. But my question is, why do you suppose they... do you think they're doing that? And I don't know.
Why change the tradition of dimming the lights?
No, they are dimming the lights. But, I mean, the idea is... I mean, we dim the lights... Typically, we... The gatekeeping tends to be around, okay, if you have the pedigree of a Cheetah Rivera, you're going to get this much. If you're Patti LuPone, you're going to get this. It's like saying...
Say Patti yet.
This is how... Oh, right, sorry.
We're Patti LuPone,
you're not dead yet. But you don't know.
Oh, gosh. No.
I'm teasing. So Laurence Olivier, whatever.
So they have different levels.
Evidently, they're different levels, and there's different, like, okay, so-and-so died. They weren't good enough to dim the lights. Or this person is a producer. Nobody's ever heard of them. Why would they dim the lights if nobody's... So,
like, how dim the lights get? And,
yeah, you only get some of the lights.
Yeah, they didn't do that, but that you know, wonder if that's it. But I'm wondering, what do you think... Obviously, they can't dim the lights for absolutely everybody that does stuff on Broadway. One of the podcasts I listened to, you know, started saying that everybody should get recognized. But, you know, bottom line is, in all of the arts and show business, the people that are known most are the people that perform. And so it makes sense that those are the people, or like if a huge director passes away, it makes sense that the people that are known, I kind of get that. But like if, you know, that doesn't diminish the accomplishments and the the what they give to theater, that guy that pulls the fly ropes every week for the past 25 years. That person is just as important, but we're never going to dim the lights from him. But I'm wondering, you know, when the League of Broadway Theaters decides, oh, Hinton Battle, we'll do four theaters for him.
Yeah, I think it should be either yes or no.
Correct.
I agree.
Like, this, like, in the middle ground doesn't make any sense.
And
to
it
me.
Should be yes, mostly. I mean, yes. What does it matter if you're dimming the lights every week, you know, as people pass away?
Yeah. It's not like they're dimming them all night. They dim and they come back
they
up.
They dim them
very
for actually a specific time.
Specific, yeah, day.
Hold on. Somewhere I thought it said how long they dim the lights. It doesn't say. But anyway, so Hinton Battle is, and we actually have talked about him before. I talked about him right after he passed away, but he's done Sophisticated Ladies, Tap Dance Kid, Miss Saigon. I did not realize that he was the square crow.
The square crow.
That's me. I'm the square crow. The scarecrow.
Such an insult.
Square crow. I know, right?
Yeah.
I can hear the crows saying that in the new version.
Yep. So, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's calling in right now. I can't answer the phone, but thank you for calling.
That's awesome. I didn't know you could do that.
I could answer that phone, put them right on the air, but I'm afraid to do that because you never know who it is. So whoever's calling, thank you for calling.
Real maybe strong. the League of Broadway Theaters.
Yeah, it could
in
be.
In response.
It could be, what's her name, St. Jacques, who just stepped down as the head of the League of Broadway Theaters. So that I thought was interesting. Some of the other news in the world is the Broadway show called A Wonderful World, which... sounds like a lot of fun. Who likes/ people that have passed away? Louis Armstrong.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will say in the 70s, I think he died in like 1972, 73. Me and my neighbors did a seance to try to get him back, and it worked. He came back. But anyway, there's a Broadway show called A Wonderful World. It's a new musical that chronicles his life. And it's going to begin previews on August 16th. Get out your pens and take notes. That's 14 days after my birthday. It will open on November 11th at Studio 54. And it is going to be starring James Monroe Englehart.
Oh.
The Christopher Renshaw will direct it. I don't know who that is. But it's told through the perspective of his four wives, so that could be interesting.
Oh,
that definitely going to be interesting.
I don't know anything about his personal life. Is he a good guy? I want to think he was. Do we know?
I mean, if it's the perspective of his four wives and the show is called The Wonderful World, I'm leaning towards...
Wonderful Life.
It was a wonderful life.
Optimistic.
It could be.
Maybe not have been a wonderful husband, but wonderful
life. There were four wives, so they might...
Yeah.
Yep.
They that might will have be some the, opinions.
And the next Broadway show is going to be called Four. So it had its world premiere in Miami in 2021, and it was headlined by Jusen Williams. Well, I don't know. And then it played in New Orleans and Chicago with Englehart. That was in 2023. Now it's coming to Broadway.
I'm excited to see it. Hopefully,
yeah.
Me too.
Let me some.
Yeah, I actually saw it so on. TikTok, which I'm kind of addicted to. There's some things with the people doing these really wacky versions of When the Saints Go Marching In, and somebody stitched the like four of them together, and the last one was Satchmo. I thought that was sweet.
I do love Satchmo. I actually grew up with my grandfather would listen to Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong all the time. So anything related to his music is just amazing.
The pair of them are on my Pandora playlist.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's
every day
that
when
story.
Krista, my daughter, comes home, I sing "Hello, Dolly" as Louis Armstrong.
As Louis Armstrong,
yeah, coming down the stairs. Why, hello, Krista.
I love it.
That is great. And then, has anybody ever seen Forbidden Broadway? Or I'm assuming we all know what Forbidden Broadway is.
Yes, I loved those shows in high school. Those were on my regular listening.
Well, have you ever seen it in person?
I have not seen it in
Me
person.
Neither.
Oh, neither have I.
So it's a show that's been around for 40 years, and it is, you know, it does spoofs of Broadway shows, and it's actually coming to Broadway for the very first time.
Wow.
It's actually going to be called Forbidden Broadway on Broadway, Merrily We Stole a Song.
All right.
And it's going to start previews in July, on July 29th, and open on August 15th at the Hayes Theater. And yeah, four decades. I always thought it was actually older than that, so that means I got to New York before Forbidden Broadway got to New York.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
That's it. So they say the production has four actors, a pianist, and rotating guest stars. And it's going to be directed by Alessandra Reini, who created Forbidden Broadway in 1982.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, the OG.
The OG. I wonder. Yeah. Darn.
They did a spoof on Liza that I really like.
They've done so much wonderful stuff. And they have had a hard time because there was a point, I think it was maybe just post-pandemic, where they shut down briefly and then they came back up. What fun stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad they came back.
Me too. Well, it'll be interesting to see that their Broadway show. It's sort of interesting, something that spoofs Broadway on Broadway are, then they now we're going to need to spoof the spoof.
Yeah. Which, I feel like it's going to break the space-time continuum or something.
Probably right. On TikTok already.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, most likely.
Probably.
It's the closest thing to a panto like the West End does, right, that we have?
I'm going to say yes.
I like it.
Yep.
I like it when you agree with me.
You know, I've never really understood what, because you're talking about the pantomimes.
Yeah.
To me, a pantomime is mime.
Yeah.
But that's not what it is in England.
No.
Yeah. What is it in England?
It's, from my knowledge, mm-hmm. It is ultimately a spoof of the shows that are going on Broadway.
I'll tell you.
Not on Broadway.
If Nicole Shiro is here, she'd be frantically typing in Wikipedia to find out stuff. And then we would be on to another subject, and then she would just shout it out much later.
I was just texting with her.
You were.
I was.
No, yeah, I know.
It's also how my brain works, where I'm like, all right, I can't remember what this is, and then it'll be 2 a.m., and I'll just go, oh, my gosh.
The next time I'm co-hosting, I'll have you know what a panto is.
There it is. I do. I am gonna look it up. Now there is a show called Windows, which I found was interesting because it stars Tony Danza,
okay,
Tova Feldshuh, Tanya Pinkins, and I don't know this person, but I'm hoping maybe one of you do, Avantika?
No, but you had me at Tony Pinkins.
You mean
Tanya
Pinkins.
Tanya, what did I say? Tonya?
Tony. I'm thinking, that just doesn't sound right. Yes, Tanya Pinkins is amazing. People know her. She just, I think the latest thing she did was Carolina Change here. Could be wrong. But anyway, this is called Windows. It's a new play written by Tawny O'Dell. It's going to make a world premiere with five performances in March at Town Hall. It's being directed by Mitch Maxwell. It's adapted from a podcast called Closing the Distance. And the podcast is an episodic series performed and recorded by celebrated actors during the early days of the pandemic, and it brings to light the enormous changes that have washed over everyone since the pandemic, forced us to change from inside out.
Oof, all right.
I don't know.
That's a lot to cover.
It's either going to be really triggering or it's going to be wonderful, one of the two. Anything?
Yeah. Okay. That's a whole lot.
That's it. That's it. So here's the next thing I want to talk about, and then we might, that may be the end of it. But have y'all heard of the play Suffs? Crickets.
Yes, I have. I have. I love it. I think it's going to be great.
Well, it's coming to Broadway. And it tells the history of a group of female friends fighting for women's rights to vote in the U.S. at the start of the 20th century. They also became known as suffragettes, as we all know.
The music is fantastic.
The music is fantastic. And one of the producers is someone named Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
Yeah. Perhaps we've heard of her. And this actually came on the... on YouTube, and this is a little promo, and I'm going to play it, and it's Well, I'll just play it. We'll talk about it after.
In 1913, women in this country were not allowed to vote.
But we were allowed to fight.
So that's what we did.
We fought.
And we marched in hats.
Really big hats.
And very uncomfortable shoes.
We were suffragists.
We demanded the right to be heard.
But progress takes persistence.
And the road to equality is long.
Which is why we keep on marching.
But in way more comfortable shoes.
Sucks. A new Broadway musical produced by Hillary Clinton and Malala Yousafzai. Previews begin March 26th.
Anyway, the voice you heard at the very top was one Hillary Clinton. And cast members include Nikki M. James, who I love, Jen Colella, and these people I don't know, but y'all might, Ali Bonino and Hannah Cruz. Anybody? Oh, I should say that we were just joined by Sarah Fleming Walker. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Welcome. Oh, my God. You
have I'm too loud.
No, you're perfect. You okay. have a great voice. These people are too soft.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, yeah. So the one thing we talk about on the show, since I engineer my own show, I castigate people right on the air. I usually warn people that that's going to happen. But previews are starting on March 26th, which is right around the corner.
Hey, that's my birthday.
Yay, they're doing it for your birthday.
Yeah, right? There you go.
Sister Suffragette. And April 18th. Extra points if you know where Sister Suffragette, that song, is from. Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
No.
It's a movie musical.
It's a movie
It was also
musical.
A Broadway musical based on the movie. Yeah.
It was Mame.
No. Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
And that was sung by, God, what's her name? I just lost her name.
Julie Andrews?
No.
The it was woman the mom.
It was the mom, and her name, oh, God.
Yeah, I don't think I ever knew her name. She was wonderful.
If you heard it, you would know it.
My gosh. Yeah.
And the woman who wrote The Suffers is also starring in it.
Yes.
And blows everybody away from the clips
yes,
that I've
and
seen.
It's, oh my God, I just lost her name, and why isn't it in here? Oh, Shayna Taub.
Yep.
Yeah, she is also in it. And the voiceover, we didn't really listen because we were chatting amongst ourselves here, but there was a voiceover on that, which was Rachel Brosnahan.
Mm.
She's not in the show, but she did the voiceover of that video. All right, we're running out of time. Let's see what else I want to talk about before we take a break and we talk about Entr'acte. Mean Girls. For those of you who have been waiting, didn't get to see the theater, which was me, it is now available on Paramount Plus.
Oh.
Really?
So I have not seen it, but I will
later. I've got to go watch Mean Girls.
Watching it this weekend.
I did see it actually in theaters. I find it interesting. I always find it interesting when there's like a movie that is a musical that is based off a musical, mm-hmm. like a theater musical.
Yep.
I always find that very fascinating because there are things you can do in film that you can't do in theater and vice versa. But I did. I enjoyed it. You know, I had a good time.
Well, I liked the Broadway show.
The
I
Broadway
show
is really awesome.
Great job.
Yeah.
So folks that don't know, the movie Mean Girls was made into a Broadway musical, and the movie that's opened a while ago and is now available on Paramount Plus is the movie of the musical.
Yes.
Starring what's her name? Totally forgot her name.
Renee Rapp,
yes, who has a music career going as well.
She does.
Indeed.
Yep. Last thing, there's an album, there is a article in the New York Times by Jesse Green talking about a roundup of cast albums. And I'm just going to zip through them real quick that he talked about. Sweeney Todd, the wonderful Josh Groban and Annalee Ashford. Parade with Ben Platt and Michaela Diamond. Merrily We Roll Along. Merrily We Stole a Song that was directed by Maria Friedman. New York, New York, which I really wanted to see. That's got Cantor Neb music. Camelot, and that's the female version of Camelot with people like Philippa Sue, who I loved. How to Dance in Ohio, amazing musical, which we hope to do at Ground Floor Theater in 2025. Shucked with the amazing Alex Newell, Back to the Future, and then there's a whole bunch of Sondheim stuff that came out. So that's all stuff you can see. You can see links to all these things that we talked about at offstageonair.com once I post the show. So the reason why I had to get to that is we're going to play a little piece of one of those songs, which is from How to Dance in Ohio. This is called Getting Ready for the Dance, and we will be right back after we listen to this.
My mother took me to the dress.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and a whole retinue of other people.
Nice.
Yeah, did you like that callback?
Fancy word.
So I don't think Max is listening to that. That was a suggestion for me. And actually, you weren't here, Sarah, but you were a musical theater person. Mm-hmm. Retinue of Scoundrels is the theme that we're doing. Does that phrase mean anything to you from a musical theater perspective?
Actually, no, it does not.
Have you ever seen The Fantastics?
Yes, a long time ago.
She talks about a retinue of scoundrels.
Never been in it, but yes.
You haven't? I've done it three times.
Oh, amazing. It's a great little piece.
It is. It is a wonderful piece. And once was in Spanish.
I want to do a modern retelling of it.
Well, let's do it.
Making it more grounded and more realistic.
Well, yeah.
I could get into
that. I'm all for it. Well, let me introduce Sarah Fleming Walker, who is here representing Entr'acte, who does cabaret performances of big musicals at somebody's supper club.
Parker Jazz Club. Yep.
And you're working with the incomparable Adam Roberts. So tell us a little bit about Entr'acte in specific, and then maybe we want to talk a little bit about the season.
Yes. Entr'acte started as actually an idea coming out of the pandemic to have a kind of this spectacular concert event of a musical. And the idea was to do Follies in Concert by Stephen Sondheim.
I've heard of him.
Yes.
I've heard of him.
And it became, well, hey, why don't we do two or three of these a year? And here we are. So what we really try to do is give these musicals a second act or,
an entr'acte, yes, as it were.
So it's kind of like a midlife moment for shows that maybe aren't produced as much anymore because they're incredibly expensive or, incredibly complex orchestrally and what have you. So it's based off the Encores program in New York, mm-hmm, but we do not modify or adapt beyond just what adaptation is necessary for the space.
Is it staged at all, or is it basically just a concert?
I would call them lightly staged readings and sing-throughs.
LSRs.
Of musicals. They are fully licensed, so we have all the things. Uh-huh. And
well, we wouldn't expect otherwise.
And then we
just make that assumption here at Offstage and on the
air. Just I wanted to say. And then we employ world-class jazz musicians to sit in our pit, and it's just a great... Lovely audible experience.
Yeah, and you are doing something on the 10th of March.
Yes, coming up.
What little show, what little tiny itsy bitsy show are you doing?
So with every tiny little show we attempt, we learn new lessons. And this season opens with Pippin, which is a gigantic
show. It's a gigantic show.
With a tremendous amount of dance and spectacle that we are not doing. But we like to just kiss and nod at these stylistic elements. And we have a wonderful cast.
Which ending are you doing?
Well, I can't tell you that, Lisa.
Well, yes, you can.
No.
Well, okay.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I'll have to go see. But I would like you to do the first ending and not the new ending.
Okay.
I don't like the new ending.
Duly noted.
So for those that aren't familiar with Pippin, so there was a new ending with this with the revival that Diane Paulus directed. Mm-hmm. That I believe was a mistake, but Stephen Schwartz prefers that one.
Interesting. Yeah. When you get
the rights, they say, or this may have changed, mm-hmm, but last time I saw, they say they give you the option, ending one or ending two. They would like you to do ending two, and they are wrong. But I love Pippin. So listeners to this show will know that we had here in the studio one Ben Vereen, who was the original leading player in Pippin, and we had an hour and a half interview with him, and I got him to sign my album that I bought back in 1970. So that's great. Are you also in Pippin?
No, I am not. No, okay. I am directing this one.
Oh, amazing.
It would be physically impossible to do both.
Correct.
For this particular show especially. So,
tell us who's your leading player, who's your Pippin, who's...
So we have, starring as Pippin, Andrew Cannata. We have...
Surprise.
As leading player, I know. Why why would we use Andrew Cannata? As leading player, Jessica O'Brien.
Oh, I love Jessica.
Yeah. And we have Leslie Vandergenst as Fastrada, and Rick Romer as Charlemagne.
And I could probably list everybody, just rattle them off if I wasn't crossingly tired.
What's his name? Leon? No, the brother or the son.
Lewis. Leon. Is being taken on by John Michael Hoke.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Sounds like a lot of fun. And do you just do one performance?
Good question.
Filled with good questions,
we
Sarah.
We do manage to do two. So we will have a 2 p.m. matinee and a 6 p.m. show on Sunday.
Wonderful. Yeah. And so the Entr'acte was started, as you said, during the pandemic, and now you're doing full seasons. And so is your season a calendar year? And so would this be the first one of your season?
Yes and yes. And good. We do three musicals per season at this time.
All right. And can you tell us what the other two are? Or
yes,
is that
of
a
course.
Secret?
No, it's all been announced on our website, which is atxmusicals.com.
I just want to know how y'all got that web address. Oh, my God.
Right. Do you know that it was just available? I was shocked.
Amazing, I have to say.
I don't know how we did it. But we open with Pippin, and then we are our middle performance is Damn Yankees, and we finish the season with Greg Gardens.
Can I play Lola?
What that?
Hey now,
I play Lola.
Oh my god!
I was pulling for it myself.
Well, and you know, whenever you do that show, you got to have heart.
Absolutely,
it's just what I'm saying. And I'm sorry, I was thinking about what I was going to say about Damn Yankees. Could you repeat the third one?
I know.
Greg Gardens.
Oh, Greg Gardens, okay. Which I do not know very well.
I don't either. So that'll be a journey. Adam loves it.
Adam Roberts, who we just love. I don't know I don't know how he has time to do this amongst the many other things he
really
does.
Really is an incredible human, doing all the things very well.
Yeah, of course. And so so you're clearly in rehearsals at this point. How is this a full, do you spend a lot of time rehearsing or?
So part of the concept, just to round out the rest of the inspiration for Entr'acte, is to create a gig situation that is a little bit more accessible. So it's a 2-week process and only two performances, which makes it a little more of a special event than a musical performance like run. We don't do a run, but for people that maybe have kids at home or people who are students in the various programs around the city, we become easier.
And that's also kind of in the mold of encores, which is a 1-week rehearsal and 1-week show, although this year they're doing 2 weeks.
Aren't they doing what show are they doing? Are
they
doing Smokey?
They just did Smokey Joe's, and then I forgot what the rest of their season is.
2 weeks of rehearsals or performances?
1 week of rehearsal. This year, 2 weeks of performances.
Yes.
My friend Tiffany Mann was in Smokey Joe's.
Yeah, it got amazing reviews, as we talked about here on the show, and who knows what will happen? Because many times things started encores and move over. That's what happened with Chicago.
Chicago. I love Chicago.
Yeah, it's great. Well, when it did not do well when it first opened and whenever it was, and then Encores came and did it again and with a new vision and longest running whatever.
It ain't leaving Broadway.
All right. So that's amazing. And do you have anything? Do you want to tease the next season? Is there anything there?
Well, we have not done, we're not deep enough into talks, but we have a Sondheim on the table.
That was the name of my third book.
I'm on the table. I'm trying not to laugh directly into the microphone.
No, you can.
Because it could spare everybody that sound. we have another option that is... yes, that's all.
Okay,
I can say.
Can't say anything. I should tell our audience here that we talked about it on the show. We had them on the show. I just saw Sarah in Spitfire Grill, and she did an amazing job and made me cry. So that was that was very good. So Sarah is also, I don't know what your title is at Austin Playhouse, but you have a title.
I'm an associate artistic director.
Associate artistic director over at Austin Playhouse, which we love. And I should then also give you the opportunity. I'm assuming that Austin Playhouse is participating in Amplify Austin.
100%.
So we're going to talk about Amplify Austin a little later, but those of you that know, and we can look up theaters like Austin Playhouse when you do that. Yes. Sarah, thank you. So where can folks go to get more information about this show?
About Pippin, you would go to www.atxmusicals.com, and it's all right there.
Well, wonderful. Well, I hope you all come back on. And Sarah, we talked before, I think before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how you've not been on this show before.
It's just been a
which just seems very strange to me. That's what, when we talked about having you come on and you sent me an email and said, yeah, I'm a big fan of the show. I went, well, haven't you been on before?
No.
So, but now we can't say that anymore. Yes. So thank you. I was happy to have you on, and please come back.
Thank you, Lisa.
Great. That was Sarah Fleming Walker of Entr'acte and their show Pippin coming up on the 10th, two shows. For more information, you may visit atxmusicals.com, not only for that show, but for their whole upcoming season, because you have heart. And let's go on. Speaking of Diane Paulus' version of Pippin, let's listen to Magic to Do. We'll be right back.
Join us.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and my retinue of people here. That's two. So now this is a point in the show where we start talking about local jazz going on. So I just mentioned Amplify Austin. So not only is Austin Playhouse part of Amplify Austin, Ground Floor Theater is part of Amplify Austin, like all the local theaters that we talk about are part of Amplify Austin. What is Amplify Austin? It's Austin's Day of Giving, where a bunch of nonprofits get together and well, we don't get together. It's another group, but this is a time for Austinites to give to Austin nonprofits across the board, and there are loads of arts organizations that you can give to. One of them, by the way, is a co-op. Co-op is part of Amplify Austin. And oh, look, and here there's lots of information that I didn't write down. More than 700 local nonprofits. They have raised, since 2013, over $1 billion.
Yeah.
so many numbers, I can't read it.
Too many zeros.
There are 19 different categories. So you can go from, anyway, you can go to amplifyatx.org. Please consider giving to everybody. I have to say right now, because I'm on the radio, give to co-op. co-op.org. But you can go and search for anything. It starts at 6 p.m. It goes through 6 p.m. Tomorrow. But you can schedule your gift right now by going to atxamplify.org and search for your local nonprofit that you want. You can also search for categories. Like, oh, I want to give to theaters. And you could to that category. Anyway,
yeah.
It's a great thing. Some people really do the bulk of their fundraising during Amplify Austin. And I know that Austin Playhouse does a big push.
We get very into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they've done very, very well. I should also say that I missed it, but last night they announced the Texas in Austin season, which looks really, really good. And uh-oh, I didn't. Oh my God!
Oh, Broadway in Texas.
Broadway in Texas. Broadway
in
Austin.
What season?
What did I call it?
The Austin in Texas. Texas in Austin.
I don't know. What is that? Because I was multitasking and I didn't do it. But let me see if I can go by memory here. I know that, and I just said it. Shucked is coming. Les Mis, Hamilton. MJ is the first one, which happens in the fall. Are you looking it up?
I am.
Okay.
Moulin Rouge?
Moulin Rouge, yes. It's an exciting season. It looks good to me. Now, too late. We're moving on.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah,
Nicole
we didn't
Shiro.
Make it. Yeah, Shiro was... well, Shiro is the press representative, so she would have already
Peter Pan!
It. Yes, and Peter Pan.
And Clue.
Oh.
And can't forget Funny Girl.
Okay.
And Funny
Clue
Girl. There you go.
So fun.
Yeah, that one doesn't excite me, but I'm
really?
Gonna. Well, once I see it, I may change my mind. But the Peter Pan version. This is the one we talked about last week. This is the Larissa Fast Horse version. So evidently they went and fixed all the problems.
Oh,
all of
like
them are fixed.
Oh, all of them.
We'll see.
And Hamilton, Les Mis, and Come From Away.
Oh, Come From Away as well.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, so that's good. It's a good season. I like it. Here are the things that are happening right now, playing or coming up soon. Ballot Eats the Bullet, You Matter. That's a Zell Miller production. I believe it's at Hyde Park. I didn't write which theater
it's
on.
Yes, it is. It's at Hyde Park.
Great. 1448, which we just talked about and we're going to experience in a second, is this Friday and Saturday night at Ground Floor Theater. White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, starring Bridget Bandit, is happening at Ground Floor Theater on the 13th. Barney Carey Gets His Wings. We're finally the last opportunity to see that. It closes on the 10th. Over at the Zach, we have a year not only with Frog, but also Toad. That plays till April 14th. Undark, a radioactive puppet play, just opened last week, and it plays through the 16th. Dancing at Lugnasa City. No. Dancing at Lugnasa by the City Theater. Did I pronounce that right? Lugnasa? Anybody?
Lunasa?
Yeah.
It's got a G in it.
Yes.
Lughnasa. Anyway, it opens on the 15th and plays through the 31st. And then a little unknown Broadway show called Wicked is playing at Broadway in Austin, or as I like to call it, Austin and Austin. and it plays from the 13th through the 31st. Are y'all ready for Today in Theater History?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
all right, here we go. Good. I have that one. So opening, Girl from the North Country. Which I thought was coming here, but I guess it's not. 2020, that's when it happened. Fish in the Dark, opened in 2015. I do not remember this one.
I don't either.
Fish in the Dark. Nobody? Okay. Bring Back Birdie, opened in 81 and closed the next day, I think. Hello Dolly, opened in 1978, and that would be a revival. Actually, I saw that revival. My friend... Michael, what's your last name? Michael DeVries was in that version of Hello Dolly. And then birthdays. Oh, we have one other opening. The Girl in Pink Tights opened in 1954.
Wow, I missed that one.
Well, yes. Yeah, so, well, as you know, well, it was written by, the music's by Sigmund Rongberg, lyrics by Leo Rubin, and the book is by Jerome Kotarov and Joseph Fields. It opened at the Mark Hellinger Theater, ran for a total of 115 performances, and choreographed by Agnes DeMille.
Oh.
So it had a pretty good thing. An interesting thing, there was going to be a film version, and it was going to be starring Marilyn Monroe, and it was canceled when Marilyn Monroe refused the role in defiance of her studio contract. She called it trash. And she was also, and this is wrong, to be paid less than a third of her co-star, who was Frank Sinatra. I don't know. I think she deserves as much as Frank Sinatra. Okay, so with that, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to listen to a little bit of that show. And the actually starring, oh my God, hold on, the woman it starred is Jean Marie, who I think was an opera star anyway. Let's listen to a little bit of that. This song is called Free to Love. We'll be right back.
Now I must be cold.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and my retinue of scoundrels. Max is back. So Max, pop yourself over to microphone for a second. You're Max. You're back with the play called Retinue of Scoundrels. Did you look up retinue?
I did. I saw the Fantastics reference. I wish I had known it. But yes.
Well, yes. Good. So we're going to get to this in a second, but we're going to talk about 1448 first. So Matrix. We heard earlier the very short version of 1448. What else do we want to know about 1448?
I mean, I think what I love about 1448 is it's a way for the community to come together in a short amount of time and create magic, create the magic of theater and celebrate community together.
Yeah, I agree. Sweet has been involved with 1448 for a long time, as has Noah. And Matrix and I are kind of newcomers to the organization of it, but we've directed for it for a long, long time. Yeah. Sweet, when did you get involved with 1448? Are you here from the very beginning?
Not from the very beginning. I believe it was about 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun. I remember my friend Chad was a part of the steering committee. Chad Dyke.
Who's moving back.
Yes, he is. And he was just like, you should try it. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I'll do one day, and then I did one day, and I was going, I will do every day that you ask me now.
It's a lot of fun. And Noah, you had mentioned in an email earlier. So this was, where was this created? Tell us about the creation of the event. Yeah.
So it originally started in Seattle in the 90s.
Washington? Or
Seattle,
the other
Washington.
One? Okay.
Yeah. The golden age of fringe in the 90s. and Sean Bellier and Jody Paul Wooster, a couple of Seattle fringe guys, started the festival, like Matrix said, as a way to get everyone together. And they kind of wanted to bring all their favorite theater people from around the city and get them all in a room together with a short amount of time and kind of see what would happen. And so about 8 years ago, Sean came to Texas and brought 1448 here because his daughter actually lived here. And she's also in the theater scene. And they decided to give it a shot, and we've been doing it since, right?
Yeah.
8 years.
It's pretty amazing. Sarah, have you heard of 1448 before?
I think I have, from you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you going to join us next year?
I mean, that sounds exciting.
Good, you must. It's so much fun. Well, great. Let's. I sort of want to get into this play. I think we should just go ahead and do it, great. And then we'll talk about the process afterwards. So this is a play for three people. I will say that when we actually do pick the names, the playwrights pick the number of actors that they're going to write for, and then go home and write it. They don't know anything else about the actors other than the three. Presumably human beings. But this is this stars Sweet Matrix and Noah, and I will be doing the stage directions. Y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Let's
okay, here
do
we
it.
Go. Some of you were looking at this ahead of time, but I didn't. Here we go. Scene. Sweet and Noah are in this conference room, contentedly but nervously shuffling some papers around, getting ready for something. Matrix busts through the door, sweating, out of breath.
Stop! Everything has changed.
No. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
It's not a time for jokes, Matrix.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Is it April 1st? Someone check a calendar. Is it April? Are we fools?
It is not. We are not. It is October 29th, and it's 7:55 p.m. Eastern Time. And the candidates are starting their final debate in 5 minutes. The final debate. Our last chance to turn this race around.
Yeah, everything's out the window now.
We are hammering the other guy for being corrupt, for having multiple affairs, for being indicted on multiple felonies.
Which is exactly why they're hammering us, except we're correct.
We are on the side of truth.
We are on the side of freedom.
Yeah, ditch it. I mean, all of it. I mean, it won't land.
We can't. He's literally in the dressing room right now having his makeup done, doing warm-up exercises, brushing his teeth.
The polling is insane. It's cratered in the last 4 hours for our guy, all right? The public has changed their mind completely. A drastic turnaround.
The public is fickle.
Oh, ficklier than fickle. The fickliest that we've ever frickin' seen.
There's just nothing we can do at this point.
No, there are things we can do.
Are these things legal?
No comment.
Okay, we're down to 4 minutes. Our guy's probably taking a whiz right now at this moment.
He always takes a whiz 4 minutes before the debate.
You have been working for this dude for way too long.
No kidding.
It's a codependent relationship. We admit it.
So what are we supposed to do?
We go after the other guy for being too nice. For being too good. Breaking news. The guy is an angel and we sledgehammer him with it.
Whoa. He's too clean for office.
Yeah. Makes Mr. Roger look like Tony Soprano.
How do we do it?
Well, quick. Noah, take notes.
On it. I'm picking up a pen to write down as we speak.
You have great handwriting.
I appreciate that. 3 minutes left.
Our guy. Opens with this. My opponent has a clean record. He's never missed a bill payment. He's never had a credit score under 800. His wife loves him. His children are straight A students. His nickname in elementary school, middle school, and high school was teacher's pet.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, I'm nauseous just hearing that out loud. We want a guy like that leading the country.
Certainly do not.
I sure don't.
I wouldn't have even realized that if I'd heard it out loud.
They're brilliant, right?
This is the October surprise of our lifetimes.
What else do we say?
That's it. Teacher's pet. Drop the mic. Walk away.
I love it. 2 minutes.
What's he doing now?
Let's see. 2 minutes before a debate, he slaps his face hard on both sides.
That's true.
Weird. Noah, get him the script.
Got it. I'll run it over to him right now.
You're the best.
I love you guys.
I love you too.
Ditto.
Noah leaves with the notes.
Wow. I can't believe we might pull this off.
Me too. Want to fly to Paris?
What?
Yeah. I mean, I have 2 tickets to Paris, just you and me. The other guy paid me $10 million to do this. Let's have the time of our lives.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got $5 million for you if you say yes.
What about democracy?
Well, we all know we're going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it's just a matter of what we do in the meantime.
Okay. But I'm still rooting for our guy.
It's 50% chance this strategy works. I mean, best we can do. Oh, first class tickets. All the champagne you can drink.
I'm in.
Sweet and Matrix walk off, a bit conflicted but content. Hail to the Chief starts playing. End of play. Amazing. Oh my God. Too close to home, actually. Wow, what fun. So, just so that everybody knows, this did not exist a half an hour ago.
Yeah.
So tell us about the process. What went through your mind when you heard Retinue of Scoundrels and started to put your pen to paper?
Right. I looked up Retinue. I didn't know the word. And then figured it was a group. And then Scoundrel just brought to mind politics. It's top of mind. And then I just thought I'd have some fun with it. So
that's a lot of fun. What was what did y'all think? Players, did y'all enjoy it? Did you have fun?
Yeah. I love playing.
So this is the kind of thing that happens at 1448, and they're double this length, if not more, and the actors, the directors, the designers all put together, and it's not, this isn't script in hand, is it?
No, it's fully off. It's a fully produced play.
It's a fully produced play.
Seven of them each night.
Yeah. So it's amazing. So where can folks go to get information about 1448?
I believe it's the Ground Floor Theater website.
Yes. Yeah, I'll tell them because I know it. It's groundfloortheater.org/1448 or 1448. 1448. And the show happens when?
It's going to be on Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. at Ground Floor Theater. It's a ton of fun. It's really fun to come and see. But the other thing that is also fun and perhaps for next year is to be involved. And we put the word out like a month or so in advance, and we get a whole retinue of people to work with us.
Yeah.
That's three.
That's three. I'm done.
And all the scoundrels get into a room and we figure it out.
Everything in three. And I think Sarah will be joining us next year for sure.
Now it's on the books.
It's on the books. Yeah. Well, great. I am. I'm looking forward to participating. I'm directing at least one of the nights, probably two. Matrix, you're directing?
I am directing both of the nights.
Both of the nights. Noah, what are you doing this year?
Glue gunning.
You're glue gunning.
Nice. Yeah,
Noah is the glue, really.
Noah is the glue. And Max, you're writing this year, are you?
Yeah, I'll be writing specifically for Saturday night, I think.
Saturday night. Yeah. And you have written before. Are you writing again this year?
I have.
Sweet.
I think I am, and I'll also be acting, I believe.
Sweet has also acted and wrote, like, in the same day.
It's insane.
I have,
it's
insane. Yeah.
And we will say that Carl Gonzalez this year is writing and directing. Mm-hmm. At the same time. It's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
Last year I stage managed and directed, and I won't do that again.
Oh my gosh.
And lighting design, I think.
And lighting design and projections.
Exactly. Everything.
Lisa Sheps.
There it is. So anyway, thank y'all so much for coming and talking about this. And now I'm going to thank you if I can find your names because I can't do it by my memory. That was Sweet Van Loan, Matrix Kilgore, Noah Martin, and Max Langert, along with Lisa Sheps and Sarah Fleming Walker of 1448, playing the 8th and the 9th at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, groundfloortheater.org/1448. And this is a song from Snapshots, a musical in 13 minutes called Something to Write About. We'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and her retinue of scoundrels. We just had so much fun, and we have a minute or so. Let me just look and see what we didn't talk about and see if we want to pick that. Oh, you know what? I do want to pick this up. Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal in Othello, directed by Kenny Leon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So here's a little... Sweet's going, oh, that sounds interesting.
It does.
I'm going to turn your microphones on. Who do you think is playing what?
Denzel. Othello.
I know, I was being funny.
I was like, are you? Let's not get crazy here.
I was being funny. But that sounds amazing. And guess who can guess when the last time Othello was revived on Broadway?
I can't, no.
Anybody?
2016.
Yeah, well, close. 1982. Which surprises me. That's, you know, that's...
The year of my birth.
You need to say that in a microphone.
That's the year I was born.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
That's the year after the radio I was on Broadway. Well, anyway, so that is great. Thank you all for being on the show. We're done. We have no more time left. So next coming up is Austin Cooperative Hour. And this week it is Lights, Camera, Austin with our very good friend Robert Sims, who is here trying to take the microphone away from me, but I'm not giving it to him yet, as I'm always struggling to stay on the microphone. And as we go away, you know, I always look at seeing what's new coming out as a cast album. And we talked a little bit about Todd Rickall, who's starting to produce stuff. This is from Cinderella Rock, sung by Nicole Scherzinger, and it's called Miss Heartbreaker. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody. Hurry, That's not the right song. you know, that leads me to think that maybe I didn't do it in. So instead, we're going to listen to Free to Love again. Here it is. We'll see you next week.
No! Nah.